This is episode 215 of the Church Venture Northwest podcast. We're continuing Women's Camp 2018, Unfettered from Fear to Freedom. This is the workshop, Transformed Friendships, with Jen Tompkins.
My name is Jen, and I am 40 years old, and I live in Salem. I'm married to a physical therapist for 18 years. We have three kids, 12, 9, and 7, and it's boy, girl, boy, and they are blonde, redhead, and Asian. So I've had friends say that they recognize me from across the blueberry patch, across the parking lot, because there's not a lot of trios in Salem that are blonde, redhead, and Asian. It sounds like the beginning of an inappropriate joke. But that's my plan. My youngest was adopted from Thailand, so I'm very involved in the adoption community, which is part of the way that I got connected with Holly and other gals in and around Salem. I also am on staff at a church in Salem, Morningstar. I'm the director of women's ministry there. And that's one of the reasons why I was so excited to come this week. Since as long as I can remember, even as a little girl, I have been a girl's girl. I love my female friendships. I connect well with women. Men and boys are fine, but give me a group of women any day. And I feel like I have a dream job that I get to talk about Jesus with women and go to events like this and get to meet other women. So thank you for being here. I'm so glad to be here, and we're going to talk about friendship today. But I would like to, especially if you just sat in that wonderful session with Diana, you may have been sitting a while, or maybe you drove here. So if you could, we're going to do a little icebreaker exercise, and I'm going to ask you to stay seated, and then when I describe something that applies to you, you're going to stand up. So whatever you need, put your Bible down or something. And this is not stand up and stay up. You stand up if it applies to you, and you sit down if it doesn't apply to you. Okay? You can look around. We're going to learn a little bit about each other. All right. This is basic demographic. Stand up if you are 45 or older. Yes. Blame it. All right, stand up if you are 44 or younger. Love it. Oh, great representation. All right, stand up if you have put on deodorant 2 or more times today. It's a little warm here at camp. I've never stood in front of a group of people in shorts before. I want you to know, that's a vulnerability that I'm here before you. All right, stand up if you're sleeping in a tent this weekend. Oh, you guys are hardcore. I am super impressed. All right, stand up if you love maps. You love yourself a good map. You are my people. I love maps. Stand up if you prefer tea or another drink over coffee. All right, what are you drinking now, may I ask? Unsweetened iced tea. That's lovely and refreshing. Maybe a bit warm, but I will forgive you. Stand up if you will take coffee any day. By the way, I just want to ask Holly, it's not clear in the brochure exactly when the coffee place opens in the morning. If we can get some clarity on that. 7:30. I'll see you guys there. 7:30. All right, stand up if you brought earplugs. Did you bring earplugs to camp? I have a few extras. Maybe tomorrow morning you'll be asking around. Who was here that brought earplugs? Okay, I'm gonna find out where you all are from. Stand up, and we're gonna do like general metro area. Okay. Don't come at me and be like, hey, it's like Hillsborough. Okay. Stand up if you're from like Portland metro area. Okay, good. Stand up if you're from Salem metro and surrounding. Okay. What about Lane County, Eugene-ish? Whoop, whoop. Okay. Friend is coming. Add one more to the tally. Where else am I missing? Where else are people from? Central Oregon. Stand up if you're from Central Oregon. Nice. Anybody else? The coast. Stand up if you're from the coastal range. Nice. I feel like I heard. What's that? Corvallis area? Yes, talk to you for 50 minutes. That's just too much. So you guys are going to be talking to each other. You might be talking to me a little bit. So in a minute, I'm going to have you stand up and maybe scooch toward, if you're not sitting near anyone, I'm going to ask you to talk to a neighbor. So in a minute, when I ask you to talk to a neighbor, maybe you could scoot your body towards a neighbor. Part of what we're talking about today, was anyone in the class right before this when Diana said one of her dear friends saved her life and she came up to her and said, "Hi, we're going to be best friends." I'm not asking you to do that, but we are going to have some conversations with a friend. So here's what I'd like you to find a friend or neighbor, groups of 2, 3, 4, and I want you to tell them the name of one of your very first friends in your life as a child and something you remember about that friend. Okay? So take about 4 minutes and turn to your neighbor and tell them the name of an early childhood friend and just something you remember about that friend. Teen friends, and then even into adulthood, I noticed that there are some similarities. One of the similarities that I noticed when I was talking to these middle school girls is what I would call friendship busters. I think we can all recognize there are friendship boosters and there are friendship busters. So I'd love for you to think in your mind right now, what do you think is one of the biggest friendship busters? And to prepare for this class, I actually went to the very academic source of Facebook and asked them, I created a little survey and asked for 100 women, and I actually got almost 200 women, to respond to just four simple questions. And one of them was, what's one of the biggest causes of friendships to dissolve? And did you ever watch the old game show Family Feud? So we're going to play a really quick round of Family Feud. Can I have two volunteers? Yes, one. Anyone else? Yes, two. Come on down. Oops, wrong game show, but you get the idea. All right. So I'm going to stand in the middle here. This is your buzzer. You're going to stand right here. So out of 100 people, what do you think was the number one answer for causes for adult friendships to dissolve? Oh, that's very specific. Let's see, what did you say? Okay, sorry, what was your answer again?
Oh, my mother, you dated my ex.
You dated my ex? Okay.
Betrayal.
So, the number one cause was an offense of some kind. So, disloyalty, betrayal, gossip. So, both of you. Yes, something, some kind of offense, or even miscommunication was really high levels. Anyone have a guess on, either of you have a guess on one of the two of us? Second biggest problem. Of dissolution of friendship.
Jealousy.
Jealousy was up there, but it wasn't number two. Lying, I included that in offenses. Number two was just changing seasons. Seasons of life, seasons of our circumstances, people moving away, having babies, you know, getting divorced. Different seasons and circumstances of our lives changing that just kind of lead friendships to dissolve. Let's talk about the next question. We'll lead us into our next topic is the question that I asked 200 women on Facebook. How would you suggest that a grown-up girl make new friends?
I would say you have to be open and acceptable. You have to put yourself out there to receive friendship.
Awesome answer. That was the number two answer. You got to be brave. You got to just start up a conversation. Be open. Be brave. Initiate things. That was the number two. Any guess on number one?
Well, I think what I'm thinking is it might fall into that same thing, but just eye contact, smile, just acknowledging.
Yes, absolutely. That I would include that with initiating. Bumper sticker that. They don't point that on your pillow. Thank you, ladies. You can sit down. And I'll tell you the number one answer. Yeah, you can talk now. The number one answer, 66% of people recommended to join something. The biggest thing, because I think a lot of my friend group on Facebook are faith-based people, join a Bible study, join a small group. Join a small community within a larger church. So it did not just say, go to church on a Sunday morning. It said, join a ministry within a church and start serving. That's how you can make friends. It said, a lot of people said, find out what you're interested in and join a group about that. Do you like to quilt? Join a quilting group. Are you a mom? Join a mom's group. Do you like to code? That's a computer word. Then join a group of coders. Find your people, and then you got to do that number two thing, and that's to be brave. And I actually have some notes on that. Will you look at your on the first page of your handout? Taking lots of advice from other people and my own experience, this is how I would boil it down. And to be honest, there might be many of you in this room. You're here with your friends. You have friends. You have plenty of friends. This might not be the season that you're in right now. But I feel like as our seasons change, there might be a time when you're in a place where you're thinking, I need more friends. As a women's ministry director, I cannot tell you how many times I hear over and over again, I am lonely. So lonely. Surrounded by people. Oh, young moms, it kills me. They are so lonely and they are never alone. is something that we can all experience, is a deep loneliness. So here are my four tips for making new friends, whether that's your season or not. And the first one, and what was your name here? Okay, Cammie. This first one was what Cammie was talking about. And that's be the first. You gotta just be the first one. Be the first one to smile. Be the first one to say hello. There are many times when you are standing. I can remember as a young mom, I would be at the park with my kids. There would be another mom 3 feet away from me pushing her kid on the swing while I'm pushing my kid on the swing. And often we just stood there in silence. And I can kick myself for not just starting up more conversations with women. And it doesn't even have to be in the young mom season. It could be any season of our life. We are in close proximity, probably, with other women. And also, probably, they might need a friend too. Another thing that I strongly want to say to so many of you, so many of us, is that we often fixate on a group of people. I'm going to use the church as an example because I think that might be a familiar place for a lot of you. If you're involved in a church and you're at a retreat, and there seems to be this group of women who just are so fun, and they're really involved, and they just seem really cool. Guys, it's like middle school all over. It feels like we want to sit at the pool table in the lunchroom. And what I encourage women to do is stop fixating on a group that's already existing and start your own group. Look around you. There are many single and double women walking around in your life, in your community, who are also desperate for friendship. Pair up with them. Find one of them. Connect with one of them. And do these things. Just start a conversation. As I was doing my survey, a friend of mine who's a military wife commented, and another gal who has moved 5 times in the last 8 years, and she said, you have to be brave. You have to be intentional. One of them said, you can't just go to a meeting or a group or a service and then leave right after. She said, you have to linger afterwards. You have to strike a conversation, and you got to invite. You got to invite someone to your house, invite someone to coffee, invite someone to meet you at the park. That's the way that you can be the first one. It's kind of like a trial run. You're testing things out. You're throwing out a little fishing bait to see, is this person going to be part of my tribe? The second thing that you need to do as you're doing that little fishing expedition is be yourself. Be yourself. Don't be someone that you're not. Be confident in who you are, because you, exactly as you are enough. And you are valuable as a friend. Someone is missing out on you as a friend if you are trying to be someone else. And I confess to you that I have done this before. I am not an athlete. My husband is, and I have found myself when I meet maybe his running friends or some of his colleagues, and they're all talking about the races, and I'll bring up that one time that I ran a 5K.
Oh, yeah, I totally know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that was brutal. And that's not who I am, and I'm totally misrepresenting myself. Or there was another time that I can specifically remember when these two gals that I was with, it was kind of a situation like this, where I was the outsider, and I was just trying to find a group to sit with, and they were super into the television show The Bachelor. And they knew all the characters, and I watched The Bachelor about 45 years ago when it first started. So I remember, you know, before it was on season 58. And so I just wanted to bring the conversation back around to that one Bachelor season that I saw. But that's not me. That's not what my interest is. That's not really who I am. And I was not doing myself or them any favors by being someone that I'm not. So as you're testing things out, as you're making friends, be yourself. And today, especially, we're going to be talking about finding and building and maintaining deep friendships with godly women. And if you have that in common with someone, that you are both wanting to grow in the Lord, everything else is just a bonus. Anything else you have in common will be a plus, and anything else that you have that's different will just add spice to your relationship. Just be yourself. The third thing, and I think the most important of these four, is be vulnerable. You've got to be vulnerable. You really desire to build close friendships. It's time to be vulnerable with your pals. Be honest with a struggle you have. Are you finding it difficult to balance work and home life? Tell her that. Do you struggle with anxiety? Tell her that too. I guarantee in a group of five women, there's probably two of them who are very much related to struggling anxiety. Chances are she's got struggles too, and she'll be happy to know that there's someone who gets it. You guys talk about a friendship buster is when you meet someone either online or in person who seems to have it all together, and you don't feel like you can show any sign of weakness. Well, don't be that person who seems like you have it all together and you don't have any weaknesses. No one else is going to get real with you. I think just that moment when one woman says, I struggle with this, someone else says, it's the most powerful beginning to a friendship that you could possibly have. We've got to be vulnerable. We've got to be real, or our friendships will be an inch deep. The fourth thing is you've got to be patient. You have to be patient. The kinds of friendships that I think we all crave, we've had this expectation set up for us, like on sitcoms and movies of these girlfriends that are, you know, eating blizzards in the middle of the night. And it's possible to have that kind of friendship, that you can text someone at 10 p.m. and they'll be at your house with a blizzard and a shoulder to cry on. But those kinds of friendships don't happen overnight. If someone you just met showed up at your house at 10 p.m. with a blizzard, that might be a red flag. That's the kind of friendship that we grow into. And so you have to be patient. If you are in a season of looking for new friendships, I just strongly recommend you to be patient. Keep trying. If that's not the right fit, try again. Don't give up. You got to be patient. And I really, really believe that the right girls and women are out there to be part of your tribe. Okay. We are going to play another round of Family Feud. Would anyone else like to go? There's only one question this one. Any brave souls want to beat the buzzer? Aaron, what's that? No, that's okay. Oh, here we go. Here we go. Two is perfect. Come on down. I keep saying come on down. That's private. What's your name? What's your name? Cheryl, can you come over here? Okay, the next question on the survey is, and I had some friends say, this is a really hard question. What do you think is the most important characteristic of a good friend?
Loyalty.
Yeah. Loyalty was number one. Good job. 36% of people said loyalty. Cheryl, any guesses?
Honestly.
Honesty was number two. Good job, ladies. You can have a seat. Honesty was number two. The other things that were on the list were trustworthiness. Trustworthiness, that I can count on them. They say they're going to do what they're going to do. They do what they said they're going to do. They're going to be where they're going to be that they said they're going to be. And that they will keep confidences. That was the third thing. And the fourth thing that people said was authenticity. Authenticity, being genuine, kind of what we just talked about, being vulnerable. That was the fourth thing that people said was the most important thing to them. But one thing that I want to talk about today, I'm going to have you turn to your neighbor, and I really want us to focus on the difference between fun, casual, and even really good friends, and good, godly friends in the Lord. Because there is a difference. We're talking about transformed friendships, and these aren't just the type of friends that will quote with you, or drink wine with you, or do silly things with you. We're talking about the kinds of friends that will go deep with you, who will challenge you in the Lord. So what I'd like you to do is turn to your neighbor. We're going to take a few minutes, and I would love for each person, if you have time, to share what is a difference. What is a difference between those two kinds of friendships, a fun, just a normal good friend, and a godly Christian friend. So can you take a moment and talk to your neighbor and see if you can come up with some distinctions?
Thank you.
Thank you. Does anyone feel brave? I know it's hard. We all just got here like 2 hours ago. Anyone feel brave and be interested in sharing? You can even share what your friend shared. That's what I'm doing. I personally didn't come up with an idea, but Judy said. Is it okay for me to my phone to lose that? You can tell me and I'll repeat it.
Just the difference between being brave and being brave.
Absolutely. In here, it's just like get to share spiritual experiences with one another, not just fun, common hobbies, but the really deep stuff. Hopefully, some of the most important moments of your life. Anybody else have one that they want to share? Their friend's idea that they want to share?
In a friendship with the Lord's people, there's a lot less aggression because if you're going to the Lord, they're not help each other up, like cheat better, I'm better, and then just God.
Amen. Yeah. I do notice. I mean, Christian women are absolutely not exempt from competition, but it lowers the statistics. I wish I would have brought there's a quote by Ann Voskamp that just talks about the difference between girls and women. And girls compete with each other, and women champion each other. And I think that's very true of our godly friendships. You can look in your Bible if you have it, but if you don't, I want you to look at the bottom of the front page. One of my favorite stories from Scripture of a true godly friendship is David and Jonathan. Their friendship is epic. And something that makes it just ready for the movie screen is that Jonathan's father, Saul, for much of their story, is trying to kill David. And I'm just a selfish person, but I feel like that would put a damper on my friendship with someone if a member of their family was actually pursuing me to take my own life. But it seems to bring these two men together, young men together. And there's one scripture in particular. It's in 1 Samuel chapter 23. And this is very fresh after one of Saul's attempts on David's life. And David and his men had to flee for their lives because Saul was still the king. He had the power. He had many men that were at his resource, and they were pursuing David. So David fled to the wilderness. And I can only imagine he felt very scared and alone, and he was communing with the Lord, and he had men who were under his authority. But then his best friend sought him out and found him. And it says in verse 16, it says, Jonathan, Saul's son Jonathan, went to David at Horesh and helped him find strength in God. And I have written it out for you in 5 different translations because I think each one has something to help us clarify that moment. Jonathan, Saul's son, rose and went to David and strengthened his hand in God. Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David at Horesh and encouraged him in God. Saul's son Jonathan went to David at Horesh. He told David that God would make him strong. Jonathan went to find David, and he encouraged him to stay strong in his faith in God. And I think if we had to boil it down, that's one of the differences between regular friendship and godly friendship. Regular friendships are encouraging to us. They are fun. They are uplifting. Godly friendships encourage us in the Lord in a deeper way that coming around you with a blizzard might not ever get. So I would love to just look really briefly at the handout. We're going to look at seven traits of true Christian friends. We're going to have to skim past some of them and we'll camp on a few of them. The first is sacrificial love. Pretty Sunday school answer, but a pretty obvious one. Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. Jesus is our perfect example of sacrificial love, how he loved us, how he loved his people. If we choose our friends based only on what they have to offer us, we'll rarely discover the blessing of genuine friendship. Philippians 2:3 says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves." This is something that we can recognize in our friendships, and also something that we can put into practice as friends, that we put others' needs before our own. In a little bit, we're going to talk about some signs of unhealthy friendships. One of the signs to an unhealthy friendship is if you are always caving to someone else's choice. If you are always caving to that person's opinion, that person is telling you what to do or what to wear, where to be. That's not a healthy friendship. Sacrificial love is putting someone else's needs before your own. The second thing, and one of my favorites on this list, is mutuality. And I know that can be kind of a weird word. Oil and perfume make the heart glad. The sweetness of a friend comes from earned counsel. Most friendships are based on something. Either taste in music, love of a sport, similar life circumstances. We, here at Women's Camp, are women who desire to grow in the Lord. And we are looking for friendships that will help us toward that goal. It's important that we seek friendships with women who also desire to grow in the Lord. There is no common ground sweeter than a friendship between two women who are committed to helping one another mature in their faith. This is where I would strongly encourage intentionality. Intentionality in your mutuality. Need to point that out. This is where you get to choose your time. We all have a limited amount of time that we have to invest in our friendships. And we can choose to spend time with the women who we are, with whom we are equally yoked, those who challenge us in the Lord, and again, to recognize wonderful, fun friendships that we do not share that mutuality with. I can tell you a sign in my life of someone with that I do not have mutuality with is someone who has never said to me, I'll pray for you. Or if I feel awkward bringing up spiritual things with this person, that's a sign that there's not a mutuality there. If you are married, you have friends who are married. This is a very common thing. If one wife says, "Ugh, my husband just never picks up from the house," that's like a bait for mutuality. Are we going to come back and say, "Oh yeah, well, my husband is even worse. He hasn't done laundry since the Obama administration." You know, there are things that we can then start piling back one on another, dumping on each other's husbands. But if you are in a conversation where someone is talking about their spouse or talking about a friend, and that friend has the courage to turn that conversation around, that's a friend who wants to grow in the Lord and wants you to grow in the Lord. I have a godly, sweet sister-in-law who is wonderful, and I can't tell you how many times in the last 20 years she has guided a conversation out of gossip by very lovingly and gently saying something kind or gentle about the person about whom we are gossiping. And that's something that I admire. I am ashamed that I get sucked into that conversation or that I'm the one initiating it, but I so admire the mutuality that she knows that that's not the way I want to be, and she can gently guide us out of that conversation. That's someone who wants me to grow in the Lord, who wants to grow in the Lord. Speaking of, the third trait is candor. Proverbs 27, 5 and 6 says, better is an open rebuke than hidden love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, profuse are the kisses of an enemy. As part of friendship between two women who mutually desire to be more like Christ, there is a sharpening aspect to those true godly friendships. Friends often like to be together because it feels good. We receive strength, encouragement, and love. We talk, we cry, we listen. But at times, we also have to say difficult things our dearest friends need to hear. Yet because of the shared trust and faith in Jesus, we might be the one person who can impact our friend's heart, but we know how to deliver a hard message with truth and grace. That may be an assumption that we know how to deliver a hard message with truth and grace. That's something that I think maybe is a bit of a learning curve. So maybe you can practice on each other this weekend, practice on a spouse or a friend or a pastor or someone at your church. But remember, scripture says that if we're having a problem with someone, we don't complain about it to our spouse. We don't go to friend B and talk about friend C. It says we go to that person one-on-one directly and talk to them. Also, gentle correction is part of godly friendships. Candor and speaking with one another with the purpose not of being better than, but to point them towards Jesus and encourage them in their walk with the Lord. Number four, acceptance. Acceptance is kind of an umbrella word for this concept. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. We discover the best of friendships with brothers and sisters who know and accept our weaknesses and imperfections. Isn't that true? But if we are easily offended, or if we hold on to bitterness, we'll have a hard time making friends, and I will add keeping friends. This is what I call the category of prickly. Prickly. Do you have some people in your church who maybe are a little prickly? And those are the people that you feel like you have to walk on eggshells around. Or you don't know, maybe they're here at camp, who's going to walk into the dining room, version A or version B of Judy. I apologize if there's someone here named Judy. I'm not picking on you. It's just the first name that comes to mind. That's someone who is not showing acceptance, who's not showing grace. We have to find a line. There's also these women who just say whatever comes to their mouth, and they just say, I'm just saying what everybody's thinking, and take me the way I am. There's a balance here between speaking love and also giving grace when love is not spoken, maybe in the best way. Don't be too prickly. We have to accept our sisters and give them lots of grace. Number five is healthy boundaries. 1 Corinthians 13, very well known passage. Love is patient, love is kind, does not envy. I'm going to skip down to the bottom of that part. Part of healthy boundaries is also knowing when to let go of unhealthy friendships. Can you recognize the signs of unhealthy friendships? Now, this is an exercise, I'm just going to be honest, that I did with the middle school girls. So this might be a bit of a no-brainer, but I would love for us just to call out, because as these girls were talking to me about some of the struggles that they have with their girlfriends or things that are hard for them, I realize I know those women. I know those girls grown up into be women, and they're doing the exact same things in unhealthy ways. And sometimes we as women feel like, as a godly friend, I need to stay in this friendship and show her love. And I'll tell you what, friends, you do need to show love, but you do not necessarily have to stay in a close friendship with someone who is unhealthy or damaging to you. So we're just going to do a little thumbs up or thumbs down exercise. You can hold it up or you can hold it down. And to be honest, some of these will seem like no-brainers, but maybe they might lead to a conversation later in the day. So give me a thumbs up if this is a sign of a healthy friendship. Thumbs down if this is a sign of an unhealthy friendship. Okay, can we practice? Thumbs up, thumbs down. Okay, we'll start with middle. You tend to agree with your friend a lot because you're afraid of her reaction if you disagree with her. Oh, thank you. Some of us. This person generally makes you feel good about yourself when you're together. You hesitate to tell your friend personal things because you're not sure she's going to keep up private. Your friend is happy when good things happen to you. Can I give an appeal? If your friend goes on vacation this summer and you see it on social media, I want you to write, I am so happy for you. Do not write, oh, I'm so jealous. I haven't been on a vacation in 4 years. This is not the time, that's not the place. I am so happy for you. And if you're not, then that's something you need to work on. The girl needs her vacation, so let her have her vacation without you saying, so jealous. All right, you avoid telling this friend if and when you hang out with other friends because you don't think she will like it. You feel comfortable talking to this friend about the Lord and spiritual things. Your friend often talks about or makes fun of mutual friends when you are together. By the way, have you ever been in a, I remember specifically that a friend of mine said something that was so powerful, and that someone asked her, what's the best thing about this friend, group of friends that we had at this church? And she said, I know that when I leave the room, no one's talking about me. What a powerful, beautiful thing that is. And one of the ways that I hope that she knew that is because when other people left the room, they were not talked about. Does that make sense? If you're in a room and someone leaves and that person is talked about, guess what might happen when you're leaving the room? It's not a good thing. It's not a healthy thing. It's not a trust-based friendship group. If you recognize that you are in an unhealthy friendship, you got to be like Elsa and let it go. Let it go. If this is someone in your family, it's a little trickier. But also, this doesn't mean you need to text this friend and say, I'm letting you go. You're unhealthy for me. I'm just talking about a gentle, loving step back. A little less time, a little less trust. I want to tell you that it is okay. You do not have to answer every call. You do not have to say yes to every invitation. You do not have to bite on every piece of bait that she throws to you. It's okay to step back from unhealthy friendships. All right, number 6 on the bottom of our list is respect and edification. You kind of hit on it a little bit. Argue your case with your neighbor himself. Do not reveal another secret, lest he who hears you bring shame upon you and your ill repute have no end. Friendships are based on communication. The words exchanged between friends are the bread and butter of our relationships. It's what sustains it. The difference between a friendship that uplifts and a friendship that tears down is often found in our words spoken to one another and to others. One of the main ways that we show love and respect to our friends is in how we talk about them when they are not around. Friends know when to speak and when to be silent. However, gossiping with your friend just as toxic as gossiping about your friend. We must claim and commit to clothing ourselves as Paul instructs us in Colossians 3:12-14. As God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. I can't stress this enough. I believe this is one of the secret deadly sins of church. And I say that as someone who has struggled with it, a propensity for gossip. And one of the best illustrations that I've ever seen, I would love to show you any chance I can get, 3 to 4 volunteers. A group, can I talk to you 4 ladies in here? Coming up? You won't have to say a word. All right, she's all over that. You don't have to say a word. What I have here is a little bit of gossip. And what's your name? Karen. Can you hold your hand up, Karen? I'm just going to tell you a little bit about it. We need to pray for Judy. I don't know if you heard, but she's having an affair. We just need to pray for her. So now you're going to pass that on to Pam. Can you pass a little bit on to Pam? And Pam's going to pass on a little prayer request for Judy. And then Pam's going to pass it to Rusty. And Rusty's going to pass it to Angelica. And here's what I know. That gossip is like glitter. Are you all done, Angelica? Try to get it back to me. Were you able to get rid of the glitter? No, you weren't. Gossip is like litter. It spreads quickly. It cannot be cleaned up. You can't control where it goes. And it seems really fun, but it makes a huge mess. There you go. Apologize to the people who get to pick this up. Thank you, ladies. Thank you to the volunteers. If I could leave you with anything to remember, it would be that our words have power. Our words and our friendships have power. And we can choose to speak life into our godly friendships. We can choose to speak life. Our friends are a good and perfect gift from the Father of Lights that James talks about in his letter. Lastly, selectivity. A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer to a brother. I would just encourage you to be selective as you are being intentional and have mutuality with people, that you are seeking out, making friends with people who will encourage you in the Lord, and maintain the friendships that will encourage you in the Lord. It doesn't have to be many, it doesn't have to be dozens. We just need a few friends to encourage us in the Lord. So I'm going to just close this in prayer really quick, and then you can be dismissed. Heavenly Father, thank you for this camp. Thank you for this opportunity that we have to come here. I do believe that it will strengthen our relationships and our friendships. Lord, I pray if there is tension or awkwardness or women that are sideways with one another here at this camp, Lord, that you will just provide the opportunity to clear the air in a godly way with candor and with love. But Lord, most of all, I just pray that you will make us brave. Make us intentional about who we spend our time with, who we trust, who we invest in, and let us be the kind of friends that we are looking for and that you want us to be. We love you, Lord. You are good. You are the perfect model of a friend. Lord, we pray that we will be more like you when we leave this place than we were.